Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight. For our final hymn tonight, we'll stand. And I got a couple of announcements, but I'm going to do it after the song. Let's open up our hymnals to 257. 257, we'll stand and sing the first, the fourth, and the fifth.
First, fourth, fifth. Got it.
Of 257. Praise God for a Wednesday night service where we can come together and worship the Lord. We still have freedom of religion in America. And speaking of freedom of religion, they announced yesterday that in Salem, Massachusetts, they're opening up a satanic temple.
Oh, no.
Yep. Satanic temple.
You know why?
Yeah.
Salem witch trials.
Exactly.
Remember?
They mentioned that. They mentioned that. And they said that Salem is rich in history, a witchcraft history, and they chose the city because of its darkness for the satanic temple, which is opening up the first, I think it's the first Friday of October, next week anyway. And so, folks, this is the last days we're living in. They want to worship the devil. And you wonder why America is in such a mess. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know what about these Satanists, but we're going to trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? 257 and 1st, 4th, and 5th. Praise the Lord tonight.
Until all on the altar we lay. All the favor he shows, and the joy he bestows, only ever will trust and obey.
Seated, church. Good singing tonight for a Wednesday. And praise the Lord. We have a few announcements just prior to getting to the Word tonight. Just two more weeks, by the way, in the book of Ruth, and then we'll begin a new book of the Bible. But I've got a couple of announcements I need to make. Pray for Ellie, our church secretary. She has got a big problem.
Hmm?
Yes, my sister. She's got a big problem with her eyes right now. She's getting these black specks in her eyes, and it's real gravelly and blurry. She went to the eye doctor today, and they told her it's a some kind of macular degeneration where eyeball deteriorates, and there's nothing they can do for it anyway. But they said it's common with aging. So pray for her. Also, the reason she's not here tonight is because her cat, Tiny. Tiny is back in the vet hospital tonight. She's with him at the doctor, the animal hospital. Tiny, I think he's dying. I don't know, but he's got some real problems going on. He won't eat, won't drink any water, and it's been 5 days now since he hasn't taken anything internally. So pray for she has to have a prayer for Tiny. And then I've got a couple more for you before we get going, folks. A brand new church directory, thanks to Ellie. So you'll have everybody's email and updated phone numbers.
I got a new phone, but we'll have some
extras. We'll have some extras under the pulpit for those who need one. Remember, these are the newly updated.
What do you mean? What is this?
Ones. So.
What is this?
These are the church directories. Every person, all the members of the church, it has their addresses, their emails, their phone numbers, so be able to get in touch with people.
Oh, nice, like a reach out for them.
A little bit easier, but I noticed that some of these are quite blurred. Oh, yeah, I think she's going to need a new printer. All right. What's my number? Oh, yeah, here it is. Thirdly, we have freshly printed prayer lists for tonight, updated prayer lists, and we'll give these out after service, but prior to our Wednesday night family church prayer meeting, we'll have these available for you, updated prayer lists. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, church. And we'll open up. Oh, yeah. The fourth and final announcement was on October the 16th. October the 16th, there'll be no AM service, no morning service that Sunday because of the Grange people having their annual statewide meeting here in our Grange. So we will have service that Sunday night, the 16th, at 6 p.m., of course. But no, mark your calendar. If you come that morning, you can take part in the Grange meeting, but not church. Oh, boy. All righty. Ruth chapter 3 tonight, folks. We start a new chapter in the book of Ruth. And tonight's message I've entitled, Ruth, the Resting Believer. The Resting Believer. Look with me here. Remain seated. And Ruth chapter 3 tonight. We read, Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee. And put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight, that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Albeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Glory to God, Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for this amazing passage before our eyes. Lord, how we thank you that Boaz finished the matter that night, that fateful night so long ago. Lord, thank you that he provided the redemption that Ruth needed. Lord, thank you that as we study these incredible chapters of the book of Ruth, we learn more and more about our kinsman redeemer. We draw closer and closer to thee as a result. And Lord, we ask you to bless your word tonight and give us spiritual understanding, Holy Spirit of God, in these matters. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, beloved, now Naomi had great faith in Boaz, their kinsman redeemer. And now that Ruth has put her case into his hands, she is told to sit still, that is to rest in his tender care, which she does in verse 18. See that? Ruth does indeed become a resting believer here in chapter 3. This is one thing, beloved, that we need to become in our Christian lives, resting believers. Amen? Because if we don't rest in the Lord, we'll never serve the Lord. Now, I want us to notice 5 ways that Ruth entered into his rest in this chapter. 5 specific ways. First of all, she entered into his rest by being properly prepared. You know, you've got to be properly prepared to enter into Boaz's rest. Oh yeah. She first must be washed, anointed, and clothed. 3 ways she was properly prepared to enter into his rest. Look at verse 1. We read, then Naomi her mother-in-law said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Now, Ruth is instructed here by Naomi, her mother-in-law, on the appropriate steps to take that will lead to this promised rest in Boaz. First, she must be washed. Look at verse 3. What's the first word? Wash thyself, therefore. Here we have a picture of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen?
Listen, if you want to find rest in Boaz, you first need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Then you can find rest in that blood, because your sins are all washed away, forgiven, and comforted. Then you can rest indeed. But there's something else she must do to be properly prepared for entering into his rest. She must be anointed. Look at verse 3 again. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee. Anoint thee. Now, I got a question, church. What would they use in the Old Testament to anoint one?
Oil.
That's right, yes. Oil. And this oil is an emblem always of the Spirit of God. The anointing of the Spirit of God. That's what you need. You want to enter into Boaz rest? You need to be anointed with the oil of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I'm so thankful tonight that each and every one of us that have received Jesus Christ as our Savior have been anointed. He hath anointed us by His Spirit. This is, of course, a picture of the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, glory to God, and administering rest to the soul. But thirdly, in order to be prepared to enter into His rest, thirdly, she must be clothed. You got to be clothed, right? You better be clothed.
Oh, yeah.
You're in church tonight, you better have clothes on. Kick you out quick. Verse 3, wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment, clothing, upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. Now, folks, this clothing is undoubtedly a spiritual typology, a picture of imputed righteousness. The robe of righteousness that Jesus clothes you with once you get saved. Amen?
Amen.
First, the washing by the blood. Then the anointing by the Spirit. Then the clothing, the imputation of the righteousness of God. Oh, how beautiful the picture is here. Listen, when you've been washed, you've been anointed, and you've been clothed in the righteousness of God, you are ready to enter into rest with Boaz. You are properly prepared to enter into His rest. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Hold your place in Ruth. Coming right back. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at this verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, Bible says, "And such were some of you, Christians, who used to be all these evil things." We were evil. Now we're holy. "Such were some of you, but ye are what? Ye are what? Washed." Ye are washed. See that? "But ye are sanctified." That's the anointing. Sanctifies you. "But you're justified." Yeah. You're just. Justified. You have the righteousness of God. Same three things are labeled here that we have in preparation for Ruth's resting in Boaz. Oh, beautiful typology. Secondly tonight, back to our text in Ruth chapter 3. The second thing, in order to enter into His rest, is that she must cast herself down at His feet. Oh, I like this. Ruth must cast herself down at Boaz's feet. Now look with me here in verse 4. Ruth 3, verse 4. "And it shall be, when he," Boaz, "lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do." Now, notice verse 5, "And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she," Ruth, "came softly," not to awaken him, "and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman laid at his feet." Beloved, I hope you're listening tonight. What a beautiful portrait we have of the bride of Christ laying at his feet, prostrate before her king, worshiping him and adoring him. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I love that part in the Gospels where Mary anointed him with oil and washed her feet with his tears that came down her cheeks. What a beautiful picture. Here, Ruth positions herself humbly at the Master's feet. You know what, folks? We need to come to the feet of Jesus. There's something wrong with this world out there because they don't know that they need him and they need to bow at his feet. They do, though they don't know it. This portrayed her submission to readily obey his commands and carry out his orders. It also pictures the prayer life of the believer. We bow at his feet and seek his face for our needs, right? We pray about situations like we'll do tonight. This is a beautiful, beautiful picture here. The second thing she must do, besides being properly prepared, is that she must cast herself down at Boaz's feet. Go with me to Luke chapter 8 for a moment. Hold your place again in Ruth. Luke's gospel, chapter number 8. In Luke chapter 8, we have a man who was demon-possessed. Okay? Like a lot of this world we have today. Got a lot of demon-possessed people. Look with me here in Luke chapter 8. Don't miss this. Jesus comes along and he casts all the demons out of this guy. Called him the maniac of Gadara. Okay? Once the demons were gone out of him, watch what he does. Luke chapter 8, verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done. All the people heard that Jesus cast the demons out of him. And they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting where? At the feet of Jesus. What's the next word? Clothed. He was naked. When he was demon possessed, that's a sign of demon possession, you know, nakedness. Clothed at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. You know what? You're only in your right mind if you're sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why the world is in the wrong mind, the mentality tonight. They don't obey Jesus. They don't love Jesus. They don't sit at his feet. They hate him. They don't want him to come back and ruin their party. But folks, for you and I who know him and love him, we want to sit at his feet and hear his lovely voice speaking to us. Amen? Thirdly, something else tonight concerning Ruth and the resting believer. In order to enter into his rest, she must claim him as her near kinsman. She must claim him as her personally near kinsman. Look at verse 9. Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. And he, Boaz, said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich." Oh, beloved, I hope you're seeing the picture here in verse 9. Ruth here claims Boaz in his office as a kinsman redeemer in her behalf. You hear what I said? You know what you need? You need a kinsman redeemer. That is one who is personally related to you, who can pay the price for your soul. Listen, this was a great demand for a poor Gentile stranger to make to a Jew. But the mighty man of grace, Boaz, took great joy and satisfaction in accepting his responsibility to be her kinsman redeemer. He didn't throw her away. He didn't tell her to get lost. He didn't tell her he didn't have time. He said, "You're right. I am your kinsman redeemer, and I will pay the price for you, Ruth." Oh, what a beautiful picture we have here. Look with me in chapter 2 of Ruth. Chapter 2, look at verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he, Boaz, of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man, Boaz, is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Folks, listen to me. You could not be redeemed by the blood of an animal. A lamb, a goat, a bullock, a turtle, pig, whatever it might be. You could not be redeemed by the blood of an animal. You could only be redeemed by the blood of a near kinsman. That's why he became a man, that he could be our near kinsman. That means of the same flesh. Amen? I am so thankful that God, our Maker, was willing to become one of us in order to redeem us. What a picture we have in the book of Ruth here. It's so clear. Look at verse 2 of chapter 3. "And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went in with barley tonight in the threshing floor." Yes, answer, yes, he is. He's of our kindred. Jesus is of our kindred, folks. He became one of us in order to bring us to his holy heaven. Oh, that's so beautiful. But fourthly, I see something else concerning the resting believer. Concerning the rest, entering the rest of Boaz, she must choose between two kinsmen. Did you hear what I said? she had to choose between two different kinsmen. Look with me at verse 11. Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. "And now, my daughter, fear not." This is Boaz speaking. "I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is another kinsman nearer than I. And tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." Now, folks, I want you to get a picture of what's happening here. Boaz was not the only potential kinsman redeemer for Ruth. There was another guy who was related to the family who also could take the part of being a kinsman redeemer. What is the picture here? The picture is that every human being has a choice of one of two purchases. One purchased by the Son of God. Another purchased by the devil. You see that? Now, folks, I'm not going to take the time to go into the actual laws of Moses concerning the kinsman redeemer. They're absolutely crystal clear. You can look them up in the Pentateuch, okay? The laws of kinsman redemption are clear in the Bible. You had three requirements. The first requirement is that the redeemer had to be of the same family, or kindred. He had to be related to the one being redeemed. The second requirement was that the kinsman had to be willing to do the redeeming. The kinsman had to be willing to do the redeeming. As you're going to see, one of these kinsmen are not willing. One is and one's not. The third requirement to be a kinsman redeemer is that the kinsman had to have the price to pay for the redemption of that person. You following me? The kinsman had to have enough wealth to make the payment for the redemption of that person. Okay? They lost their home. They lost their land. They lost their cattle. They lost everything because of poverty. Here comes a kinsman who can buy it all back for them if he's got the money to pay, if he's got the right price that it cost. Secondly, if he's willing to do it, he may not be willing. Third, if he's of a near kinsman related to that person. Now, notice here that there are two potentials. Boaz here shows no reluctance whatsoever on performing the part of the kinsman redeemer. But Ruth must realize that there's another kinsman who wants to redeem her as well. Did you know there's two spiritual fathers that want your soul? That's right. God and Satan. That's right. They both want you for eternity. Did you hear what I said? They both want you for eternity, but only one can have you. Okay? They can't both have you. Only one can. Now listen, Ruth here must realize that there are two kinsmen vying for her soul who both would love to pay the price for her soul, but only one has the amount, the wealth. Go to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy, quickly, chapter 30. And then we'll move on to our final point. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm not going to take time to read the kinsman redeemer bylaws of the Mosaic Code to you, but I will take the time to read this to you. Every human being has a choice between two, one of two, and every human being will end up in eternity with one of these two. Watch. In Deuteronomy chapter number 30, look at verse 15. Moses says to the children of Israel, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." Now, notice here, any fool in his right mind would say, "Well, I'll take the life and good," right? Wrong. How many people choose the death and evil over right and good? Look at it. Verse 16. "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods, other kinsmen, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what? Choose life. You see what he said? Whose choice was it? Was it Moses' choice? Nope. It was the people's personal choice. Listen to me, folks. You have volition. You have free will. And you cannot be redeemed unless you choose life in Jesus Christ. The other choice is death in Satan. Look at it. Therefore, verse 19. Therefore, choose life. Why, Moses? That both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. And that thou mayest obey his voice. And that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. He says you may need to choose whom you're going to serve. Whether it be the God of Israel or the gods of the Moabites, like Ruth had to repent of. See that? There's two kinsmen. They both want to redeem her, but only one has the price to pay. Now, folks, our final point is this. In order to enter into Boaz's rest, she must allow Boaz to do the redeeming work. Did you hear what I said? She had to allow Boaz to do all the redemptive work for her. She couldn't have any part in it whatsoever. Boaz had to do it. Let me show you that. Look at verse 14. Ruth chapter 3, verse 14. And she, Ruth, lay at his feet until the morning. That's a good place to be, at the Lord's feet. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that is as upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, Naomi, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done. The man, Boaz, had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. She didn't pay for it. It's a gift. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. Why? For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Naomi says, Ruth, you just sit down here and be quiet and let Boaz finish the work. Oh, I hope somebody's listening tonight. The picture couldn't be any clearer, beloved. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, had to do the redeeming. Did Ruth have anything to offer? Nope. Zero. She had nothing but her soul. Amen? Boaz had all the wealth. Boaz had the power to redeem. And Boaz had to do the redemption himself. Now, Ruth is sitting still in verse 18, leaving Boaz to do his redeeming work for her. You know what, folks? I meet a lot of Christians that they want to get their dirty little hands involved in being saved, and they want to help God out. Well-meaning, well-intended Christians. But you need to stop trying to help Jesus save and let him do the saving. You know, like twisting people's arms behind their back when they're not ready to be saved. It'll never work. Beating them over the head with your Bible, that's not a good thing to do. They might end up with a concussion. Folks, we need to let Jesus do the redeeming, right? Now watch it. This work of redemption was not Ruth's, but Boaz. She has his promise that he would finish this work that very day. Now, Ruth rests in faith. Listen to me. Ruth rests in faith, trusting Boaz to do all the work for her. She's the resting believer. Amen? She's the resting believer. Go with me to Ephesians. Hold your place in Ruth. We're coming back. Go with me to Ephesians real quick. You have to allow Boaz to do the redemptive work for you and stop trying to save your own soul. Oh, maybe if I join enough churches, I'll get to heaven. Maybe if I put enough money in the plate. Maybe if I get baptized till the frogs know my middle name. Never work. Never work. Why? Look at this verse. Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me at verse number 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Ruth, lest any man should boast. Go to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Just prior to Hebrews and Philemon, filet mignon for you steak lovers, you'll find the book of Titus, chapter 3. Look with me at verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Folks, you see what happens here? The Redeemer has to do the redeeming, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Oh, it's such a clear picture we have. She's now the resting believer. Oh, yes, she's entered into his rest, and she's allowing him to do as he wills. Historians tell us, in closing, beloved, that early Native American Indians had a very unique habit of stopping in the midst of a long journey every so often in order to rest for a while. The Indians described it this way. I quote, "We rest in order to let the soul catch up with the body." We rest in order to let the soul catch up with the body. There's a great spiritual lesson in that story, beloved. We must rest in the Lord like Ruth, as restful believers. Father in heaven, how we thank you for chapter 3 tonight of the book of Ruth. Lord, how we thank you for the typology here concerning Ruth, the resting believer. Lord, I'm so glad that there is a time to work. Oh yeah, there's a time to serve in the harvest field of the great master Boaz. And there is a time to rest at his feet. There is a time to take comfort in his presence. There is a time to listen to his glorious sweet voice. There is a time to kneel before him and kiss his feet. Lord, I thank you for the typology of Ruth, the bride of Christ, and of Boaz, the great Redeemer. It's so clear. We praise you for it through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Beloved, let's grab our hymnals and we'll stand for a closing hymn tonight just prior to our church family prayer meeting. Let's open it up to 134, one of our all-time favorites. Along with that resting in Boaz comes great assurance. Amen? Blessed assurance comes from resting in him. Have you got it tonight? Have you got that blessed assurance? I hope so, because it's available to every one of us. Well, sing all three, beloved. All three of 134.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Ever salvation, purchase of God. Holy Spirit washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior, Holy Lord. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior, all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now perched on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long on the third. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking upon, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Praise the Lord tonight, beloved. Father, thank you. Thank you for the message tonight. And that third stanza said, I love what it said, that we're resting. We're resting in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to do so each and every day, that we may continue being faithful warriors for Thee. We're soldiers in the Lord's army. We're so grateful that You have made us so. Bless the prayer meeting to follow in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.